Okay, good fuck everybody. We're holding here in Parsha Shmois. So the first piece will be on page 287 is a hakdama of the Ramban. The Ramban, his hakdamas are all Torah, even if they're poetic. The Ramban did not sacrifice Torah for poetry and vice versa. So I'll upon him, let's do this piece first. Hishlim akosav sefer breishis su sefer yitzira b'chidash ha'olam v'yitziras kol noitza. So sefer breishis is the sefer of yitzira. Yitzira means basic formation, like when we speak about a tzura, which means the basic structure of something. And he says the b'chidash ha'yitziras kol noitza u b'mikre ha'ovis kulam. Shehem ke'en yitzir lazarum. Mipne shekol mikreim tziyurid verm lirmas leidel asid lavelehem. So Ramban puts down here a very important yisoid, which is the yisoid of in understanding the layers of coming from abstract to very concrete. Lamashal. Let's say the DNA in a person's cells is an extremely abstract version of the tzura of the person. All it is information, what to create, how to create, etc. Then, when an uber is being formed, you get the klolistic tzura of the uber, and then slowly filling in all the details they find. The same way, when a person wants to build a building, first he has an idea, like this type of house, this type of mansion. Then the person draws an outline. Then the person fills it in, the person builds it. So you have a very layered approach in terms of construction of things. So the world works the same way. There was a Maisa Bria Solom, that's like the moment of conception. The next stage is the outline of everything to come. Avos are the tsura of everything to come. That's what avos are. They are a sketch which includes the lines of the final picture, not the final picture itself. So that's the pshat in the famous Ramban's the mice of a similar bonim. It means that there's the mice of us were sort of a framework, and that became enacted in its fullness by the children. That's why everything that happened to Avram, to Yaakov, happened to the kids eventually. So these are all the tzuris. The achash ishma yitzira hiskel sefer achabir amaisa barim azimahim. So once you finish Sefer Breishis, which is really sort of the outline, the tzura of everything to come, you now have the Nevron themselves. V'tisyachet Sefer L'shmoyt mi'agolos harishnei zu b'feirish, u'b'geula mimenu, and the golos and geula, and then he says, Shmoyt deals with the golos that was told to Avraham Avinu. In other words, this Avraham Avinu was given a Brisei Psarim, an outline of what's going to happen, and the actualization of it happens now. And that's why the Sefer is not chronologically, it overlaps chronologically, because when I want to speak about the next phase, it starts with the Yerida Mitzrayim. That's the Golos and so on. Now, so point one in Ramban is an understanding of the different layers of the Torah, the germ layer, the sketched out layer, the actualized layer. And then he says, and now he says another point. Vehine, hagolos en nishlam adim shuvu mekoymas vesim yeshuvu. The golos is not over when Mitzrayim starts being a Shabbat and they leave Mitzrayim. The golos is really the process of not being who they are. Ger Yazach HaBresu Lehem is before the Avodah B'Noisel. So, Ukshiyotzim Eim Yisrayim, Apshiyotzim Eim Beis Avodim, Adai Yechash V'Goylim, Koy Ba'aretz Lehem Nivuchim B'Midbar. Ukshibol HaSinai, V'Osim Mishkin, V'Shava Kadosh Baruch V'Yishash Chinos V'Nehem, Oz Shovu U'Malus HaVoysom, She'y Soidu L'Kai Le'Olem, V'Him Amerikov, V'Azach V'Gulim. If we ask ourselves, Kolal Yisrael comes back to being who they were, the who they were is a Merkava for the Shekhinah. And they were a Merkava for the Shekhinah. That's why the last phrase of Parshas Shmos is a Dashos Hashchin in the Mishkan, because that's coming full circle to where they started from. So Sefer Shmos is the next phase of the entirety of what Sefer Bereishis was about. That's what he says over here. Okay, let's see the next page. It says Vatar Yishe Vatel Bei Matar Yishe Kutayvu Vatitzmei Shloish Yirachim. So the Sfarnu says, Kitoivu, he says Yafe. It means he was handsome. I guess, I don't know. I haven't yet met any babies that everybody didn't swear they're very cute, but Al Kaponim, the Pasuk says so. Kimoi Kitoivas Heina. Ra'aso Yafe Yoisim Asher Murgal. He was much nicer than a normal child. V'choshvas Shezer Hoya Letachus Mechuvu Meis Yoitzroi. So this foreigner says here, this is something to, I guess it's a lot of other places. The Torah speaks about beauty. Sorry, Menu, Rachel, David, here. So what is there a mila to it? I remember one of my children who I guess from childhood has always had a big mouth, and in Cheda, and he was in Yerushalayim, the Rebbe teached that she was a fast toya, that she was a very big tzaddikus. And he raised his hands and said, that's not true, that's not a fast toya of me. Fast toya of me, she was very pretty. And he got it over the head, real bad, and not over the head, he got a patch, a two patch. But Agaponim, so let's go to the other side. So okay, let's take the. So, do you feel that the Torah is Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, tells me that she had this color eyes and this color hair and these dimensions? I mean, is that what the Torah is saying? So the answer is like this: Yoifi is part of the Bria, and normally, when, for instance, the Bria is made that that every fruit, every Nivra, when it is at its healthiest and best, is at its most attractive. So an apple, when it's not ripe, tends to look very monochrome and not plus present. When it blooms and when it's in its stage of being most edible, it is the nicest. And then it becomes blah again. Very clear like that. A person is at his best looking at the age when a person is mature to get married. Those are the years when a person is most attractive. So Yoifi is a certain shleimus that the chutz and the pnim match up. And whatever elements might subconsciously go into Yoifi, whether it's a certain symmetry, whether it's a certain balance, whatever it is, something that is strong and good and so on, projects it outwardly. The kilkel, the terrible kilkel of it is when things that are not good still put on makeup to look good. Or when people are not misyaches, so if a person is eating an apple, that's very nice, but a person is decorating his room with apples, The yoif is always supposed to be a tachlis to project the pnim, that the pnim is good and so on. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives yoifi, they say the Altas Abadka used to say that if one of Bacham Yeshiva was especially strikingly good looking, that has a chshivas because he can then be mashpi on people. People will listen to him. He'll be able to have more charisma or something. I that's Bipya Shmu of the Alta. But like upon him, so the answer is when she saw that he's toiv, she took it as Sima Shemaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something from it. So he says, Ki omnam yoif atav esirot toiv mezga choyim Hashem esga mitzayim. When something looks healthy, we tend to associate beauty with somebody looks. If somebody looks very pale, we think the person has an unhealthy look to them, doesn't look good. When a person is extremely, when a person is red too much, it's a sign, kilu, also of not being healthy. Things that are good inside, on normal mahala, tend to project outwards. And therefore, it was appropriate simon of taif. Okay, the next one is a Rambam Mor Nevuchim. He says a very interesting point about Nevu and Daschal Nevu. The first story we have here about Moshe Rabbeinu is that he killed the Mitzri. Then he got involved in the fight between the two Anashim Yivrim. So Mor Nevuchim says, Nama says, Amadrega Rishani, he's speaking about the progress of people towards Nevuah. Chilos Madregas HaNevuah, Sheyelove Le'ish Ezelikim, Sheyani Ehu Bizazel Maisa Toiv Godel, Katzolos Kol Yeshuvim Mikahal Ro'im, Rehatzul Choshevi Godel, Reishpia Toiv Anoshim Rabim, Vimotzim Atzma Lezemini Omevil Asoysoy, Vezoyis Tikar Ruach Hashem. So Rambam says, Ruach Hashem means when a person feels inside of his iris to do a maisa that is very, very big. And therefore it's called Ruach Hashem. He saves people. He courageously steps up to save people, to do some big act. That's a certain, it's a sense that the person is filled with a greater Ruach than he possesses. But Isha Shilav Alav Zeh Inyan, Yom alav shatzoch alav ruach Hashem, alav shazir ruach Hashem, aynoch alav ruach Hashem, ay Hashem, imo kitz ve'el Hashemis. And he brings a whole bunch of psukim like that, where the first act of somebody who is projecting, who's going to start being a Navi, is he does something that is beyond the normal. V'zoisi madrega sheif yishol kulam, ashnem b'yom ala klal, it says that Hashem had them have shaifdim, and Hashem was with the shaifit and helped them. Vizui gam kemadreges meshichi yisrael achshuvim kulam. Vispoze befrat itzas Hashem v'amalachim, but he al yiftach ruach Hashem, v'nema b'shim shematitzav ruach Hashem, v'nema tzav ruach lekim, and so on. V'nema tzav amosak Hashem, ruach kodesh, and so on. So Vida the Rama says, "Shekemoyze akoyach lo nivul Moshe Rabbeinu beis isigol legeda anoshi." Moshe Rabbeinu had the same koyach. Lozeis oyer laris hamitzin loya rosha mishne anitzim u mechoyzek za koyach boy at sheachri pochto ivorchoy begil lemidyan vuger yori kashro muma min oval. So Ram makes a very fascinating point. Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, so here he was saving Jews and so on. And when he came to Midian, he saw these poor girls that people were exploiting them. They weren't letting take from the well, and etc. So he stood up for them. What was that all about? What was he doing? The answer is because the ruach of helping somebody from an oppressor is a ruach Hashem, and therefore this is a sign of Moshe Rabbeinu's godless. It's a sign of Moshe Rabbeinu being prepared for Nevuah. וכיועץ ברוך השם זויס להביא אחד מאלו לדבר בדבר, אבל תח זה הכוח להור זה מחוזק לפועל אחד, לא יהיה לזה איזה פועל שיזדמן, אלא זה עושר. ותח זה בסרוח is not for specific nevuah, but to help somebody who is being oppressed. Im echad godly call, or lemashem evil azeh. So now he says, now you'll tell me, so anyone who stands up and does something, you know, big like this, maybe he's a Navi. So he says, ukemoy she'ein kol mishroi chalim amiti Navi, kein en kol mishroi chalim amiti Navi, kein en kol mishroi chalim amiti כקנויס מומן או גילים יוחד בוי, יוים עליו שזכר ברוך השם השם אימוי, ושהוא עושה מה שעשה ברוך הקודש. So he says, I can't say that, this person has, you know, he stood up and did something very big, it's a sign that he's a Navi. ואומנם נוים הזה במי שעושה טוב גודל מאוד עם השם עבר לו, כצריך ריס ביס המצרי, אשר יש סיבר שם יונים גדולים, ישחת שחר ככמו שהספייר. But it appropriately can be seen and understood as retroactively as being something that caused nevuah and so on. I want to give mashmas. This is an important understanding for a lot of things like this. Let's give a mashal. Imagine somebody starts coughing. Then a day or two later, he has a very high temperature. And he's coughing even more. And then he has a hard time breathing, and he goes to the hospital and says he has pneumonia, and then, Rachmanasan, the person's nifta. So, one person will, this takeaway will be, the next time he hears somebody cough, he tells him, yo, you better buy yourself a plot in the cemetery real quick. You're another 4 days, you're dying. Because that's how it goes. Cough, high temperature, hospital, death. It's absurd. But, it is appropriate to say, tracking it backwards, that, you know, this is where it started. This is maybe, this cough wasn't just an instant cough. This cough was pneumonia and so on. There are many things you learn in Torah that trace a certain path from A to Z, and the Torah is tracing out a path from retroactively how it happened. And it's appropriate to use it as a guide for things that happen retroactively. So when something happened, the Torah indicates a certain buildup, and it doesn't just, things don't just happen on the spot there. They built up, and one can use the analogy. But predicting the future based on that is wrong. It's just like you can't say from a cough that I can now predict he's going to have pneumonia and die. But when a person gets pneumonia and dies, I can trace it back to the first cough. Here also, you know, in things that happen, I can trace it backwards. I can't go forward with that. So he says, somebody that you see became a big person, you can trace it back to a big miser where he stood up for justice and injustice and so on. That's correct. But and not everyone who stood up for injustice is on his way to becoming a Navi. That's learning up falsely. What's interesting is also in the Rambam, why would a particular Maisa in this Tchum specifically signal that this person is so good? It's not everybody who does these heroic acts, but it is a definite step, almost a necessary step in the Rambam's way around saying it, to becoming a Navi Hashem something like that. Why in the world is this the first step? It's sort of, I mean, this is a sort of a social justice issue. Why is it trapped in nevuah? So I think the Rambam means as follows. Nevuah has two facets. It's a personal shlemus, and you can have nevuah without being given a nevuah to tell people. The Rambam himself also says like that. And therefore, that nevuah, I don't think has any shayches to this. But there's a Navi, like he speaks over here, about a person who arises to save Kal Yisrael, to help Kal Yisrael. It's a type of thing where you are a Moshiach in Shal Yisrael. So in order for, and to get that siyat d'shmaya, a person has to be willing to be makir himself. In other words, if I'm willing to stand up and take the risks personally, then you can become a kli to be a Mashiach Shei Yisrael. It's not the pshat is I myself am not going to sacrifice, but you know, if Hashem is willing to give me the supernatural kaychas, hey, why not? It's to the person who's willing to be nisayir and to do it. That's a person for whom Hashem gives. I think that might be closer to Mahala. Okay, the next one is Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says, "Va'iba yom ram nehin va'yom esmach mitzayim v'onch meisom an avoda v'izikum v'talash vasan v'kim avoda." Ama, v'talash vasan v'kim avoda ki afal pi shegia keis kvar lohi ruil negula ella mi roiv she soakol Hashem an avoda kibol tefilasa. So this Rabbeinu Bechaya has here actually two or three pshatim on this topic, but the question is, they were suffering, and it doesn't say a Kadosh Baruch Hu saw them suffering, and he decided to beguile them. He says he saw them suffering, and he accepted the tefillah. So the first part of Rechaya says is va'oma v'tal shosan kim avoda ki afal pi shegia ketzkvar lahay rul negula. That sometimes even a person who's not royu for geula straight out, but if a person's misfalal, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does send a geula. So in other words, in the nyanei tefillah, that can overcome even when you don't have the schosim for it. It could be that the tefillah itself has a schos. It could also be that since the tachlis of Yisurim and so on is that person being a scarab to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that the reason why he's getting it is because Mikoyach Maisav, he pushed himself away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it could be that in this case, the tefillah brings it back again, possibly. The second pshat is, V'hiz k'shnei po min avoyd, v'ancho v'yisrael min avoyd, v'atav shalom l'kir min avoydo, l'medcho, the second one is that the tefillah that comes mitoichat chak is a lot more intense and heartfelt. The Velt says, it says by the Kohen Gadol in when it's a spalol in the Kodesh Kodashim, so he was mispalol that there should be rain. That was obviously, that was an important thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not be mekabel the tefillah of the Ivrei Drachim, who happen to be stuck in a big downpour, and then being misfollow that it shouldn't rain. So all this, the kasha, I want to say something. Can God stand in Kodesh Kodashim Yom Kippurim? So obviously you can't get higher than that, and he's being misfollow for rain. And then you have a guy taking a walk on a Sunday afternoon, and it starts pouring, and he says, "Brainstorm, could you stop the rain today? I'm out for my favorite golf game, and you're going to ruin it." And we're worried about that. And he needs to misfollow to. So the Velt says, because the one who's standing in the downpour, he means it a lot more, no matter how much, whatever Madrega, but you really mean it because you're standing there. When you're not in the situation, so you misfollow, you certainly want it and this and that, but it ain't a daimer. I'll put him here. When a person is misfalmed to tzor deichik mamish, his tefillah is much stronger. B'chein timtza b'yein anov al shom shebir in yazeh. Hu sha'oma b'is'atef alay nafshi, es Hashem zacharti, v'atov elach tefillah salecha kodshecha. So when I was fainting, when I was, v'tiach anov ish at tefillah shimitech at tzar v'atifas ha'nefesh, here nechnes of the fun of alayhi l'kodshe yisparah. So Yoni is saying, you know, at the moment of greatest agony is when I reach out to my spal, so the tefillah that comes with tzar and tzara is much stronger. The Chazal say that sometimes the purpose of the tzar and the tzara is that the person is spal, because the type of tefillah that comes from when things are difficult is a very, very different tefillah than things are easy. And finally, that's a second pshat, to say that the tefillah was a stronger tefillah, so that the relationship with the two parts of the Pasuk are that the tefillah was much more intense tefillah because it came with Teich. That's how it is. The third one, the Ef Shalema, Ki HaParash HaZeis Yerem Zgosein HaZeis HaSida, She Gluya Bit Shuva Ubit Tefillah. You need both together, Shuva and Tefillah. Ki Chem Begoz Mitzvayim Chazu Bit Shuva, Espal HaShem, Oyin HaBeis Sar, Niskabla Tefillah Simbola Magrel Miyab. Okay, Somach Layu Moshe, Lirmois Ki Bias HaGrel Tole Bit Shuva Tefillah. So this is where the tshuva that's implied from the fact that they really suffered a lot, I assume, including the element of tshuva, was something which also included the tshuva with the tefillah together. So you have different variations on whether the tefillah itself does it, or it's a combination of tefillah and other things. If it's a combination of tefillah and other things, then the ma'ala of the tefillah is that, in other words, it clarifies what you're doing. It's not just a knee-jerk reaction. Okay, I did this wrong and I suffered, so I draw back. It expresses my hakara more fully when I'm doing it through tefillah. There's one more piece also Rabbeinu Bechai, and it's here and it's a few other places. It's in Vayechi also, I think, or in Vayigash. Next page, 290. It says Moshe Zoreh Son Yisrei. So we see a constant pattern of shepherds, that big people were shepherds. So he says, Ochaz Moshe Rabbeinu Umnis Hazeh, Kiminig HaTzadikim Rishonim, Kichein Matzinu Behevel HaTzadik, Gam Be'Avos HaOlam, Gam B'Shvatim. So you see, being a shepherd was a profession that seemed to go well for tzaddikim. Vatam kidei sheyisrachek min hayishuv shu oleh tzelachem. First of all, being together with everybody else, there's a tendency for chatoyim. So one thing is it's a greater preventive in terms of averis. Ve'oid kidei lezboided b'nevuah. Nevuah requires a certain hisboididus. It requires that a person be with himself, reflect, think, etc. And this is something that is, it's not just because you do averis with other people and it might bring you down. A person brings out his neshama more when a person is hisboididus. Hisboididus is an inyan. But the etzim umnis of Rias Tzoyin is something he says. Let me see if I can find it quickly. He says it before. This is Rabbeinu Bechaya in Vayigash. He says, Vanoshim roye tzoyin. So firstly, he says, it allows you much time for doing your own thing. You have to be with the sheep, but you don't have to sit and work all the time. Then he brings that most tzaddikim and neviim were misbeided. And he says, first of all, all the averis, gezel, chamas, rechil, shahara. And then he says for oich hashem makom his voidedus for nevuah, and he says, and he brings all these people that the aliyo and so on, that it's something which brings you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu because you're away from human endeavor, human enterprise. You call kulag misecher Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the point he makes it. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any points? Any questions? Anybody wants to say something? Whatever. Okay.
You have people that are that are naturally, beautiful or good looking. They're not making themselves up. It's natural charisma, and they're talking. They're not necessarily good people. They're not corrupting it.
It's not necessarily, but the people, if they would do right, they'd be able to harness it. The pasuk in Tillim. You should give your beauty to the melech. In other words, a person has, because of the yofi, he has abilities. Yashpia. What he does with it is his thing. Mashal. The bidikuna had to be lechavid al tifaris. A balmum was not allowed to do avoda. Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan were mekomos where yofi was the hallmark of it. So the yofi of something can be an indication. It also makes a difference in terms of what do you see as yofi. For instance, let's take an example. You have two people. One of them is big, huge, with rippling muscles and very, very physical. And one is very fine features, very edler features. In one culture, the one that looks, the balbusser is going to be the one that looks good. In the other culture will be the one who has a refined look, an edler look, and a shamadik look. And there's a story, Kitov, Eliyahu Kitov, the famous Sefer Todah. He was an amazing writer, phenomenal. He was a big Baal Nefesh, a very special person. And he wrote a book called Chassidim Ad Shemaisa about just stories. But the stories that he writes have a lot of tam to it. In other words, he takes stories that are maybe no, maybe not known. He gives it his twist. There's one story, it's about Michal Mizlotchev. Michal Mizlotchev was in the Slonima dynasty before, the pre-Slonima dynasty, so famous from the earlier, and he was a Kaddish Aliyah. His big midah was Kedusha. So Kitov starts his story, once in whatever town he lived, whatever it was, there was an extremely ugly Polish noblewoman. Very, very ugly, and one of the ugliest that ever was around. Then he says, but you know, funny how tastes vary, because the Polish guy said she was one of the most beautiful women that ever lived. The story goes that she tried to be Marshal Rebichel, and because she'd heard he's a Kaddish Elyon, and she pushed her way into his house and tried to stand in front of him and snap. And finally, he couldn't stand it, so he threw up all over her. But the way he starts the beginning, I wondered, like, you know, it's kind of the strangest start of a story ever. But it is like that. So the yoifi that you perceive, if you look at someone, you say, wow, you see the shechina shines on him. That takes a certain context. Some else will look at it and say, I don't know, a guy with a beard. When I was a boy in high school, I had pictures of a sniper, but you know, whoever, the girl I'm hanging on my wall. And I have a cousin who is not from at all. Very nice woman, but my first cousin, she grew up totally not from. And she happened to be in the house and she saw the pictures and she couldn't figure it out. She had never seen anyone with pictures of elderly gentlemen hanging on the wall. Like, obviously, women would make sense. Obviously, like, strong, muscular, guys, athletes would make sense. But old people with white beards just doesn't understand it. You know, so the yoifi that we're talking about is a certain sense, a projection of a certain shleimus, of a certain ruchnius, of a certain atzilus. Okay. Good. Good to watch.